this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Right, hello everybody. My name is Yaku. We'll get there, don't worry. It's great to be here and it's a great privilege to share the word. Some of you might have not have met me and my family. My name is Yaku, my wife Erna, and our three children cannot be here. They're busy with stuff like bathing and going to bed. But we've actually exactly a month ago today moved back from the UK where we stayed for about 6 years. And we're so excited to be here. It's a great blessing to be in Pretoria. I was born here, and it's amazing to be back. So, and thanks so much for all the way you guys have welcomed us and all the friendly faces. We're really excited to be a part of this family, and we're excited to grow together in Christ. Amen. I was going to say something about rugby and stuff, but seems like it's a bit of a prayer issue at the moment. So I am a Blue Wool supporter, so if there's anybody that wants to join me in intercession, you can talk after. Awesome. My wife's name is Erna. My eldest is 4. She is Abigail. The second one is David. He is 2.5. And the youngest one is Emily. And she will be 4 months this week. Hallelujah. She's amazing. Although she's very, she's actually the chilled one at the moment. David's the one that's keeping us up at night. If I look a little bit tired, it's because I am. So if you wake up in the middle of the night with an urge to pray for us, then please do. Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that we can join together as a family in Christ. We can draw near to you. And Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can do this publicly without the fear of being locked away or being persecuted. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in this nation. And this evening, Lord, we consecrate ourselves and we consecrate this time to you and for your glory, Lord. We take a moment now, Lord, and we lay aside every distraction, Lord. We lay aside every worry, every fear. And we declare, Lord, we trust you with these things. We trust you with these things and we choose to be wholly, completely present now to you. As we were in worship and the same now, that we were wholly present to worship you and to hear from you, Lord. And we have an expectation, Lord, not to continue meeting with you as we dig into the word now, Lord. Our desire is not for any man's opinion, Lord, but our desire is for revelation knowledge that comes from you, Lord, from your heart. Our desire is to be changed and transformed so that we might be more like Christ, God. Be exalted in this place, in and through us this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What a privilege. We've been, I want to honor Philip and Janetta and the leadership team here. They might not be, but Philip is preaching in Porch this evening. But I don't know if you guys always realize what amazing leaders you guys have here. I've known Philip for a long time, since about 1999. And what a blessing it is to be able to serve with him. And we praise God for them, and I want to encourage you to pray for them and the leadership team. We've got an amazing team of people at the office. And what a blessing to be able to put our hands to the plow with guys like that. Amen. So pray for us. Pray for Philip and Yanetta and the family. And know that you are blessed with leaders like that. Can I have a big amen on that one? Amen. Great. Awesome. Let's get going. This month we've been looking at a couple of things around who we are as a church, who we are as a body. We've been looking at how that translates into what we do. And that translates into all the things that you know, make up church life. And this evening is a privilege for me to stand still a little bit at the heart of God for family. Now, I realize that many of you here do not have your own family yet in terms of being parents. Is that a good guess? Okay. But I'm sure even if you're not a parent yet, you must be a son or a daughter. Am I right on that one? All right, so this is for everybody, okay? So hang in there. We're going to look at, let's start Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Then he said, this is where Moses approaches the burning bush. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And we see something here which we see quite often in the Old Testament. We see God introducing himself in a very specific way. He says, I am the God of your father, God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's saying a lot with that, the way he says that. He's saying that he is a multi-generational God. He is a God that is interested in multiple generations. He is a God whose glorious purposes and plans cannot be contained in one lifetime. You know, we are excited about the call of God on every life here this evening. But part of maturing in Christ is recognizing that my calling and my plan, or God's plan for my life is not so much a focus on his plan for my life as it is my life fitting into his plan and his purpose. And we recognize that his purposes and his glorious plan for generations, for our nation, goes way beyond a single lifetime. Amen? So there's a legacy and a blessing that comes down from generation to generation. And maybe you're sitting here, maybe you're the first believer in your family for many generations. I can tell you there's still a blessing that is coming down from somewhere. And that's maybe the reason why you're sitting here this evening. But he is a God of multiple generations. And he is a God that has a heart for family, a heart for generations, and a heart for marriage and for children. And we're going to look a little bit at that in a moment. Now, I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but right. Once, the moment you and I are born again, we become witnesses for Christ. Now, the good news is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses, right? The bad news is you cannot opt out of the witness thing, okay? You're either a good one or not. Okay, so but we'll speak about that maybe another time. We can talk about that in detail. But in terms of, there's different ways we represent Christ. And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5 in a very specific way that God has chosen for us to represent him. From verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Let's continue. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, if you're married this evening, or if you are hoping to get married, let that just sink in for a moment. God, the sovereign King of the universe, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen that the institution of marriage, the union between husband and wife, should represent the union between Christ and his bride, between Christ and the church. Isn't that a bit mind-boggling? For me, it's a bit of a sobering thought to think that I'm a part of that, that my wife and I are representing that very crucial relationship between Christ and the body, that beautiful, glorious union between Christ and his bride. For me, that's enough reason to do everything I can to have a godly marriage. Amen. To represent Christ in a way, in that relationship in a way that is worthy of who He is. Are you with me? Now, just as a starting point, Christ, God, as the author of marriage, is into marriage, guys. Let me just say that. If you have a desire to be married one day, or if you are married, you're in a good spot because God loves that. He's excited about marriage. Amen. Isn't that something to be excited about? And so the grace and the blessing that comes with marriage is incredible. I remember as a young, or before I got married, I've been a believer for a number of years, you know, experienced the power of God in amazing ways. And I remember being confident that I was going to be an amazing husband. Huh? Because I thought, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I've got God on my side, you know, what can go wrong? And that's all right, that's all true. But to be honest, the dependency on God, if you think you're dependent upon God in certain things, I would say there's probably no other thing that you're more dependent upon God in is in your family life, as a father or as a husband. And that's amazing. That's an amazingly healthy thing. But I've been, you know, you come to a place where you recognize that if it wasn't for Christ in my marriage, things would look quite different. Amen? The marriage covenant has three parties: husband, wife, and Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you now, if it wasn't for that third party, my marriage would look very different. And the grace of God and the presence of God and the peace of God in our marriage is only solely because of Him. That's something to look forward to if you're not married here this evening. Now, if you're not married yet, please don't be tempted to switch off and think about praying for the blue bulls. Okay, I want to look at a few things now, and I really trust this is going to bless everybody, all right? So let's look at Proverbs 31. From verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of a husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil from the day that they meet until they die. Okay, no, that's not right. Let's do that again. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, this is a critical difference, okay? Because I used to think like that. I used to think, yeah, well, I'm not married. I haven't even met my wife. Maybe I have. I was like, at that stage, I didn't know. But when I recognized that God requires of me to be faithful to my partner all the days of my life, that changed the way I looked at life. So I want to encourage you, if you're a young person here this evening and marriage seems like the furthest thing from your mind, you don't even thinking about, you're stressing about tests and stuff, or you've got other things to worry about, I want to encourage you that there's a blessing and there's a provision for you and I to be faithful to our marriage partner all the days of our lives. That means that will affect the way you conduct yourself in friendships and relationships right now. Are you with me? Is that a heavy one? Is that exciting? I mean, that for me, that was a revelation, and it was a blessing because that it changed the way I dealt with people, and especially ladies. Look, the one thing I knew at that stage is that you do not mess with the daughters of God. Right? We know that, guys. Look, I thought I was a protective older brother. I have two sisters, one elder, one younger. So I thought I was very protective as a brother, but when I had my own little girl, I have two now. The game changed, guys. The Lord protect that young man that will come to ask my daughter on a date. You know, the Lord be with him. But I don't know. I've got a bit of a military background, so I'll take him into the bush for a couple of days. And we'll just do a little bit of a introduction, and we'll take it from there. But what I'm saying is that I knew, I had an understanding, and an even more greater understanding now, that you do not mess with the daughter of God. You do not, you know, you've seen some scary dads, maybe. My uncle used to be one of those. How much more do you have to walk in the fear of the living God, knowing that I cannot mess with this girl, because the Lord will sort me out. Okay, I'll just drop that in there. Maybe that's for somebody here, a blessing. But what I want to add to that as well is, so right now, where you are right now, you are able to start investing into what God has prepared for you. Whether you have a great desire to be married or whether you haven't really thought about it, most ladies, when they're 5, they already know what their wedding dress is going to look like. The guys then understand that. They just grab a suit, the nearest one they can find on the morning of the wedding day. But but maybe, you know, you haven't thought about it. But what I want to say is that even if you're not married this evening, there's a place for you to prepare yourself and to engage the heart of God in terms of His promise and His plan for you for marriage one day. And I want to say, if somebody said that to me maybe even in high school, maybe I would have done a few things differently. There's something in terms of preparing yourself and conducting yourself in a way that is beautiful, and that you can one day, when you stand at the altar, you can enjoy the moment with the knowledge that you've got no regrets and the Lord is with you 100%, and you can just look forward to what God has prepared. I mean, one of the things I'm talking about is both a gift that God gives each one of us, and it's also in some ways it's a weapon. And what I'm talking about is purity. Purity is something that each one of us is blessed with. We are given sexual purity. We're blessed with purity in thought and mind and conduct. When I look at my children, I can see that. It's amazing. It's godly. Pure. And I want to speak, you know, we talk about it in different ways. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But purity, that sexual purity, that purity that God blesses you with, treat it as a precious gift. Treat it as something that you need to contend for. Treat it as something you need to protect. Treat it as something you wanna fight for, so that on that day at the altar you can present this beautiful, glorious gift of godly purity to that one person and nobody else. Are you with me? That's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. And The problem with the world we live in is that there's a lot of opportunity for us to fall into the depravity of the world and get distracted and get into lifestyles that is not glorifying God. And I see it like this. You can think about it like a candle. Once you start down that road and you light that candle, you cannot unlight it. You can blow it out, but you cannot make it go back to where it was. Are you with me? Once you go, it starts that process that you can't go back on that process. Yes, God can restore. God can heal. God can do amazing things. But I want to say, don't light that candle until you're in covenant. All right? Protect it as a gift from God. Amen. Okay, we'll work on that. Don't worry. Praise God. It's also a weapon, as I found when you're ministering to people, it's amazing to if people can recognize that there's a purity of heart. It's a weapon because the enemy wants to destroy that all around. I was ministering in Austria once, many years ago. I feel so old when I say that. Anyway, it was in the year 2000. And we were ministering in the red light district of Vienna. And to be very honest with you, I was completely out of my comfort zone. I grew up just outside Pretoria in a very protected environment. So the red light district for me was like, woo, too much. You know, this is like crazy, prostitutes everywhere, drug addicts, drug dealing going on. And I was just standing to one side there, bomb shocked, you know, didn't know what to say. No, we went, it was evangelism, two by two, or like just street evangelism. And I was just, Lord, please help me. I cannot relate with these people. And I remember one of the things that the guy said that was training us before, he said the key thing is that these guys and the ladies that work in that area, when you minister to them, look them in the eye. And he said the very powerful thing. He says they can recognize the real thing when they see it. Real love. Real compassion. They know everything. They know the counterfeit. They know lust. But when you minister to them from a pure heart and from the love of Christ, they respond powerfully. And anyway, long story, but I had to ask God to show me His love for these desperate people. And I stood there weeping for a while, and then I could go with freedom and minister because God had just shown me a little bit of His love, and it was amazing to see God just bless people. And I'll talk some more about that another time. Hallelujah. So, as a young person, position yourself. We've got lots of discipleship tools happening, guys. If you're married, there's lots of tools we have. We have marriage preparation. We have marriage enrichment happening. We've got marriage mentorship going on. There's some amazing tools available for you if you're married. But if you're not, guys, invest in your spiritual growth. Another thing is pray for your marriage partner. Pray for your family. I remember way back, I hadn't even met Erna. I was walking somewhere outside near a dam or something, just worshiping and praying. And the Lord had me pray for my family. And I thought it was a bit odd. You know, it wasn't on my mind. I wasn't planning to get married or anything. But the Lord gave me specific prophecy and words to speak over my family. And God gave me a picture of a little blonde boy. Crazy. I didn't go asking for it. I didn't expect it. But I realized that God wants me to start sowing in prayer. And years later, I recognized why. There was a time when my wife and I couldn't fall pregnant for quite a while. Doctors said that there's problems on my side, I've got medical problems, that there's no physical way that we can naturally bear children. This was a very tough time for us, and trying time, testing of faith. But the amazing thing is God reminded me of those words. He reminded me of those prophecies as He had me speak over my family. And He reminded me of the picture of the blonde boy that He gave me. And you know how powerful that is when you're in that situation, when the doctors say, sorry, there's no chance, but God says, this is my word for you. And He takes you back. So if you're there now, ask God for those words. Write them down. Amen. Our first child was a girl. She was blonde. She's still blonde. Anyway, I was blonde when I was young. Anyway, so I was like, okay, this is a blonde girl. I had a picture of a blonde boy. Nah, maybe I got it wrong. But the second one was a boy and he was blonde. Hallelujah. Eh? Praise God. The doctor's still in it. Don't have any answers for me, but that's okay. God sorted that out. Amen. Hallelujah. Position yourself, invest in your spiritual growth, and pray into your family. Okay. Now, I don't have... No, I have to go quicker. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, Peter is a straight-talking guy, and he's giving some really good advice here. If you're married this evening, I think we'd agree, you do not want your prayers to be hindered. You don't want that, guys. You don't want there to be any blockage between you and God hearing your prayers. There's lots of stuff going on and talk about men are from Mars and women are from Venus and stuff like that. I get it right way around. You know, in other words, it's just different planets and it's difficult to understand, etc. And it might be good news for some men, married men this evening, but according to Scripture, it is indeed possible to live with understanding with your spouse. Isn't that, can I have an amen, Michael? Hallelujah. It is indeed possible. And the amazing thing is that God gives us grace. And as we pursue God in understanding of our spouse, there's a blessing there. And what I like here is he says that we are heirs together of the grace of life. Once you're in there, well, in that covenant, together you are heirs of the grace of life. And it speaks of a weaker vessel here. And just to get back to Ephesians just now as well, don't get confused about the weaker vessel and wives submitting to husbands. Don't think that talks about importance or significance in marriage. Okay, there's sometimes a bit of a difficult topic to speak about order in the family. This is the place where you don't make jokes. Amen. You don't joke about stuff like this. I was just going to say something, but I won't. But I want to just make clear that for me, it's clear that God has given the husband and the wife the very important but different things, different roles. Amen. So my wife Erna, and if you are very blessed and fortunate, you will be in a position where you'll be able to taste some of what she's baked, hopefully in the next 10 years or so. So she's a bit busy at the moment, but. My wife is incredibly talented, and that's why I'm wearing these loose clothes in baking and cooking and stuff, right? So in these almost 10 years, I know I don't look like a baker, but I've learned a lot. I'm just saying. So I can give you some tips. I don't know, once when she had morning sickness, she had to bake something, and she couldn't because she was not able to. And then she sat far enough away, but that she could still give me instructions, and I had to bake the cake. Okay, and this was a big faith step for me. But I'm just saying, guys, it turned out amazing. I'm just saying, the grace of the Lord was with me. But what I've learned about baking is that baking is not like cooking. Cooking, if you like spice, you put in some more. If you don't like something, you leave it out. If you want to make it hot, you make it hot. Baking is not like that. Okay, guys, just take it from me. Doesn't work. You can't be too creative with the ingredients, okay, and the amounts. Please use the scales. All right. So the thing about baking is, if the core ingredients say X, Y, Z in this order, then it must happen in that order, or it doesn't work. It comes out like something else. Okay. So marriage is like that. It's not like the eggs are more important than the milk or the flour, but if you get the order wrong, if there's chaos. Amen. Everything needs to be in its place, in the right order, fulfilling the role it has, and then you're going to have a beautiful result. And everybody is going to be blessed. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say much more about that, but God is blessed with godly order in marriage. And you will reap the rewards for that as well. Amen. Okay. The same year with the weaker vessel, that doesn't mean she's less important or less significant, but think of it as like the husband being maybe a rugged clay pot thing and the wife being a beautiful porcelain vase, just as capable, just as significant, just as able, but just a little bit handle with care type of situation. Amen. 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 And used by God in incredibly powerful ways if you recognize this. Guys, you're going to be blessed. If you just write some of this stuff down in a couple of years, it's going to bless you. Amen. Okay, cool. Let's go on. Now, in terms of investing into family, we are serious about investing into marriage and into families, because if you look at the basic unit of society, that's the family, the basic unit. And I tell you now, if we as a church are serious about investing in marriage, in our own marriage and those around us, into families, we're going to see transformation in our nation. Because one family, one marriage transformed is one family transformed. One family transformed is one community being transformed. Are you with me? I'm absolutely convinced that this is why we have to put our faith into these ministries and go 100%. And if you're not ready for marriage and children and stuff like that, start by babysitting. Amen. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. I'll give you my number. All right, I've got amazing children. Okay, I'm going to go quickly a bit. What time is it? We're looking all right. Malachi 2:15. What did he not make? But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Men, do not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. It's simple. Amen. Don't mess. Don't mess with the Lord's daughters of God. I'm just saying. Don't go there. Okay. God, there's a few places in Scripture where God clearly states his desire and his what he wants and what he desires. And this is one of them. God says he desires godly offspring. That is, I believe, in the natural, but also in the spiritual. Okay? As being fathers in the spirit. But in the natural this evening, God desires godly offspring. And God is into children, guys. I know it's impossible for me to have children. Praise God. But yet I have been blessed with 3. Isn't that amazing? And God is in it. I just want to make this confession before we go on. I'm not a good parent, guys. I'm not a model parent. I'm by no means a perfect dad. But what I have seen is that because the hand of God is upon our family, and because Christ is part of the covenant, the blessing of the Lord rests upon our home and our family. And I've seen God do stuff in my children's lives. They're so young, but I've seen God do such amazing things in their lives that I'm so amazed by God's heart for children and for family. And if you're not there yet, this is something you can look forward to. Okay. He's in it. There's mega grace. As with marriage, there's mega grace for parenting. Grace is not do what you want. Okay, grace is undeserved favor that empowers us to be able to be godly and holy. Amen? You with me? When I talk about grace, I'm not saying do what you want as a parent and hope for the best. I'm saying God empowers us by His Spirit to be godly parents and godly husbands and wives. Amen? Great. Okay, let's look at Psalm 127 and we'll try and wrap up after that. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Some translations say inheritance. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Okay, I'm just going to do a small illustration. I might need a volunteer. Just a moment. So I need an apple and a volunteer. So, why is that funny? You don't think I can do it? Wade's not. Yeah, where is he? Where are the interns when you really need them? I told him this morning. Wade this morning, he said he's going to be here, and he wasn't keen on apple. He said a watermelon. But it says there, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has a quiver full. Now, I have three. I believe there's like the holy numbers, right? So you can have a gun for three. The next holy number is 7. And after that, it's 12. Okay? See, there's some guys with faith here, I can see. Michael is gunning for 7. Amen. Amen. Great. So the cool thing about an arrow, I was going to shoot at something, but I decided against it. The cool thing about this arrow is you can... Went all quiet there for a moment. So I used to, when I was a boy, I used to build these on my, just out of whatever, dowels and sticks and stuff. And there's actually quite a bit of process that goes into it. Nowadays, obviously, you buy them and you can balance them and you can build them to do certain things. So this is a target one, target arrow. As you can see, that doesn't have much of a point. You get broadheads that are razor sharp that can kill animals and stuff. I suppose other things as well. But the detail is quite important. Every little bit here, especially at the back and the balance and the weighting of it, determines how far it will go, how true it will fly, and if it's going to go where you want it to go. And this, for me, it's a beautiful illustration. We, as parents, we have a great responsibility and role under the guidance and anointing of the Holy Spirit to shape, to mold, to take our children and launch them into the direction that God wants them to go. Amen? Guys, the amazing thing about arrows, a key thing you need to understand about arrows is this arrow cannot decide where it wants to go. Amen? The archer decides where the arrow goes. And I just want to speak to the parents for a moment, those that are here. We pray and we fast, and sometimes it's difficult there's a waiting process before we have children, and there's a wrestling, and then God blesses us, and we have children. And the amazing thing is then sometimes we fall into the trap of worshiping the blessing instead of the blessor. Sometimes we fall into the trap of making the blessing an idol, okay? I'm just going to say, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but this is the worst thing you can do as a parent, is having life revolve around your child. Guys, it's going to be chaos. The arrow cannot decide where it wants to go. Amen? One thing, I have a desire and a conviction, and I trust God for this, is that my children will grow up with the conviction that life is not about us. It's not about them. It's not about what they want. But life is about the King and the kingdom that we serve. When God spoke to us about coming back to South Africa, guys, there's a lot of good reasons to stay in the UK. Some of them have little pound signs in front of them. Maybe my children will question my wisdom in a few years' time. But I can, with conviction, say to them, guys, this is what God is saying. God is calling us back. And we, as a family, go where God tells us to go. This is who we are. We, as a family, exist for His glory and for His name's sake. And I believe that if they can grow up with that conviction, it will point them in the direction where they'll be able to serve the purposes of God all of their lives. Amen. And I believe that'll be a blessing. So, Philip did an amazing sermon about a month and a half ago about he looked at detail around discipling children. So I won't go into that detail. I want to ask you to please download his sermon. It's really a blessing. I'm going to have to listen to it again. But a great blessing. Please go and listen to that. But know that if God is building the house, your family will be blessed. I mean, when Abigail started school now in the UK, she's 4. She did the basics of reading and writing. How's that? When I was 4, I was playing in the mud behind the house. Any case, so she started school, and we just spoke Afrikaans in the home. She learned English at church and with friends, and she was getting it at school as well. So just to keep in mind, she's a bit shy. She understands a lot of English, but she doesn't talk a lot, and specifically in front of others, or you know, people that she doesn't know that well. But to see the favor of God on her life in that school was amazing. Every time we spoke to the teachers, she said, "Listen, Abigail doesn't talk a lot, but every child, if you ask every other child in the class who their friend is, it's Abigail. Everybody wants to play with Abby. And she doesn't talk." How's that? Maybe, I don't know how that works. Maybe they speak Minyan. Anyway, so, but we found that it's nothing that I recognize, there's nothing I'm doing right here. This is just the presence of God on her life. Everybody wants to be around her. When she left after one term, the ladies, the moms, they said, "Listen, we realize this is not really what this is not normally done, but we feel we must have a going away, a farewell party for her." After one term, they had a big bash for her, and they had pizza and stuff. But it was just amazing to see just the favor of God. And we just recognize it's just grace. It's nothing that we can do or manufacture. It's grace, and it's the presence and peace of God. In terms of discipling your children, the more you can invest into your own spiritual growth now, the more equipped you will be to be able to disciple your children. Those are your main, most important disciples. Your own family. Now, I don't have all the answers. That's why I listen to Philip's sermons. But we read scripture with our children and do Bible stories and little animations and all that stuff, and they love it. And I'm just going to tell you one or two stories, because it's just amazing the power of the Word of God in the heart of a child. When David was about 6 months old, he was crawling around the house doing his thing. Abby was 2. And David got a cold. So we, as a family, we lay hands on him. And Abby also laid hands on him. And she also prayed for his cold. And she couldn't speak very well at that stage, being 2. But she, in her own words, she prayed for his cold. And then something amazing happened. She prayed. She added another prayer. She said, "Lord, please heal his legs that he can walk." So he's 6 months old, so obviously he's crawling, all right? But it blessed me so much, because just before we'd been doing how Jesus healed the lame man, stuff like that. And for me, the most powerful thing was, without doubt, without thinking twice, she connected the fact that if his legs are not working, Jesus will fix him. Amen? How often, if I have to pray for a lame person, I'll probably think, "Okay, Lord, is there a specific prayer that I have to pray? You know, how does this work?" She doesn't doubt. She just prayed, "Lord, fix his legs, heal him that he can walk." The Lord answered her prayer. I'm just saying. It took a couple of months, but the Lord answered her prayer. The other time, she just turned 3. We were at a birthday party in Wimbledon Park, and beautiful English weather, and we went to the bathroom, we came out, and it was raining. And Abby was seriously upset, and she was like, oh, don't like rain and stuff like that. So just before that, a couple of days before, we did the thing where Jesus spoke to the storm, right, the story. So I said, so why did Jesus tell the storm? And she stood still. She was small, and she was like this. She stood still like this. She put up her hands like this and says, stop! And I said, just add in Jesus' name. Guys, the rain stopped immediately. Immediately. I was like, what? I was like, did you see that? I was trying to, you know, but she was not fazed because that's what Jesus did. And then we had a great party and it rained later. And she could enjoy it. But all I'm trying to say, guys, is as parents, as prospective or future parents, invest in the Word. Read Scripture together. Invest in the Word in prayer together. The other day, I was walking up the stairs in our massive, massive three-bedroom, 70-square-meter house we had in the UK. And I hit my head quite badly, like really hard. And I was almost collapsing there on the stairs on my knees, holding my head. It was really quite sore. I wasn't knocked out. That would have been embarrassing. But and then Abby was there, and she was pressing on the part that's now very sensitive. Okay, right here, she was like, and I was like, stop, you know, what are you doing? You know, I'm like trying to explain it. And then I realized she's laying hands on me. She just knows, this is what you do. And it just blesses me, because you don't recognize it. They pick it up, it's what we do, this is how things work, this is what Jesus did, and this is how we lay hands on the sick. And she was pressing her hand, yeah. But those things stick, guys. They watch us, they follow what we do, and by the grace of God, his work in their lives is amazing to watch. This, 2 days ago, the day before yesterday, Abby asked me, how can I hear Jesus? Now, there was a time in my life where I would have not known, or I would have been afraid, or well, how do you answer, what do I say? But this is the kind of question I'm waiting for now. Because I know Holy Spirit is working in our heart. And I know she has a desire to know Him. And now she wants to know, how can she hear His voice? She's 4 now. Guys, there's no junior Holy Spirit, you know that. When children are filled with the Spirit, there's the same power that raised Christ from the dead in and through their lives. Position yourself so that the blessing of God can be on your marriage and on your family. Amen? I mean, I'm as close now. Let's see. I've got lots of cool scriptures still, but we won't do that tonight. We've got a legacy seminar coming up. If you haven't had the privilege of sitting through that teaching, that ministry, drop everything else, cancel everything else, and go to the legacy seminar. Guys, if you want to be married one day, or if you want to be a parent, you cannot do it without this, the blessing of that godly, biblical revelation. Okay, this is a little bit of a plug for that, but I remember walking out of that seminar the first time and thinking, how on earth can you be married or be a parent without this foundational knowledge? If you've done it before, come and facilitate. Amen. There's a blessing there. Great. Please stand this evening. Okay, last story. This is a cool one. So Abby loves the story of David and Goliath, right? Now, she, at that stage, when David was born, he was still young, so I think he was kind of crawling around and picking himself up at that stage. Maybe he started walking, I can't remember. But I remember finding them in the bathroom, both, I think, had nappies on, and which is a good thing. Anyway, so we've done the story of David and Goliath, and obviously David is David, you know, so it's cool, you know, and he wins. But Abby, I don't know if she had it mixed up or something, but she had a broomstick in her hand, and she was standing like this over him. He was obviously much smaller than she is, and she was struggling with the pronunciation of Goliath in Afrikaans. So she was saying, "Ek is Goliat," and she was, and I was like, "Or oh, I'm Goliath," you know. So I was trying to explain to her that actually, you know, David actually wins in the end, but just crazy. But there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of joy that comes with family. If you're a young parent this evening, you might be overwhelmed, or prospective parent. Know that. I mean, the parenting course, the evergreen parenting course, guys, what a blessing. Position yourself. If you're young here and you're not near to having children, so, guys, here, read my lips, so into other families. Babysitting, guys. I'm not joking. If you can serve other families in this season of your life, you will reap rewards, guys. You will learn a lot. I've been amazed. You know, somebody came to visit us, Anna and I sometimes disagree. I know it's just amazing. You didn't know that, but you are. We sometimes disagree on stuff. I know you guys don't have that problem, but sometimes we disagree passionately, you know. And we had quite a tough weekend, and this friend came to visit from Germany. She's young, not married, and I thought, my goodness, it was a rough weekend. The children were acting up and screaming and doing their thing, and we were kind of tense, and it was just rough. And at the end of the weekend, I thought, well, she's probably never going to get married now. You know, or she's never going to come visit again, you know, one of those two. And she just thanked us and said, she was so blessed by the way we, by the way we interacted. And I was like, what? And she said she was just so blessed with how family life worked and how God was there. And I just stood in awe because I recognized that there's nothing of ourselves that blessed her. It was just the grace of God. And the fact that we made a choice not to have a perfect marriage. We don't have a perfect marriage or perfect family. But we have a godly one. Because Christ is in it. Amen. So position yourself. Position yourself for godliness in your relationships, in your marriage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you that you are the good, good Father. And then as parents and as prospective parents and as children, that remains, God. You are our Father. You are our good Father. And this evening we look to you, Father. We are with humble hearts, God. We recognize, Lord, that we are so little. We are so insignificant. We are so weak. We are so nothing without you. Without Christ, Lord, there's nothing. There's no life. And this morning, this evening, we thank you, God. I just feel, as eyes are closed this evening, if I feel maybe there's some here that they have had terrible experiences of marriage and family. And there's been hurt and there's been pain. There's an anxiousness in your heart, and I feel there might even be some that have decided, I will never go there. I don't want to. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to even try. I don't want to be married because of what you've experienced. And I feel God wants to meet with you tonight. He wants to bring healing. and He wants to restore. Another thing I want to pray for is, if you this evening, and you know that your relationship with God is not what it should be, then I want to say to you, that is the very first step towards a transformed life, towards a transformed marriage, towards a transformed family, is when you as a person decide to submit your life to the Lordship of the Almighty God. And this evening there's an invitation for you to come. If you have never been in a relationship with Him before, there's an invitation to come and meet Him tonight as Savior, as Healer, as Redeemer, as Deliverer. He has not changed. And He has paid the highest price. He's given His very own, His only Son, to take your pain and your sin and every curse that was supposed to be on your life. He's taken that upon Himself so that you can have fullness of relationship with God the Father.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. Thank you.